Numbers 11, 24 through Numbers 13. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. He also gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and positioned them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and he took away some of the spirit which was upon him, and placed it upon the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, yet they did not do it again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were among those who had been registered, but had not gone out of the tent. And they prophesied in the camp. So a young man ran and informed Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the personal servant of Moses from his youth, responded and said, My lord Moses, restrain them. But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? If only all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Then Moses returned to the camp, both he and the elders of Israel. Now a wind burst forth from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and dropped them beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits deep on the surface of the ground. And the people spent all that day, all night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quail. The one who gathered the least gathered 10 homers, and spread them out for themselves all around the camp. While the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord struck the people with a very severe plague, so that place was named Kibroth Hattaavah, because they buried the people who had been greedy. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people set out for Hazeroth, and they remained at Hazeroth. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman who he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, Is it a fact that the Lord has spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard this. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any person who was on the face of the earth. And the Lord suddenly said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, You three go out of the tent of meeting. So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent. And he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, Now hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. It is not this way for my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, that is, openly, and not using mysterious language. And he beholds the form of the Lord. So why were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? And the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from above the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. As Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. Then Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, I beg you, do not hold us responsible for this sin by which we have turned out to be foolish, and by which we have sinned. Oh, do not let her be like a dead person, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord and said, God, heal her, please. But the Lord said to Moses, If her father had only spit in her face, would she not be put to shame for 7 days? Have her shut outside the camp for 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until Miriam was received again. Afterward, however, the people moved on from Hezroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send out men for yourself to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, at the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the sons of Israel. These, then, were their names. From the tribe of Reuben, Shemua, the son of Zechar. From the tribe of Simeon, Shephat, the son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi. From the tribe of Joseph, from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali. From the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. From the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vophsi. And from the tribe of Gad, Geul, the son of Machi. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. But Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. When Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, he said to them, "Go up there into the Negev, then go up to the hill country. See what the land is like, and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether there are few or many. And how is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? And how are the cities in which they live? Are the people in open camps or in fortifications? And how is the land? Is it productive or non-productive? Are there trees in it or not? And show yourselves courageous, and get some fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, at Lebo Hamath. When they had gone up into the Negev, they came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshal, and from there they cut off a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two men, with some of the pomegranates and the figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshal, because of the cluster of which the sons of Israel cut off from there. When they returned from spying out the land, at the end of 40 days, they went on and came to Moses and Aaron, and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought word to them, and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So they reported to him, and said, "We came into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, and very large. And indeed, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will certainly prevail over it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, because they are too strong for us. So they brought a bad report of the land which they had spied out to the sons of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it were of great stature. We also saw the Nephilim there. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Luke 23. Then the entire assembly of them set out and brought him before Pilate, and they began to bring charges against him, saying, We found this man misleading our nation, and forbidding us to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Now Pilate asked him, saying, So you are the king of the Jews? And he answered him, and said, It is as you say. But Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, I find no grounds for charges in the case of this man. But they kept on insisting, saying, He stirred up the people, teaching all over Judea, starting from Galilee as far as this place. Now, when Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, since he was also in Jerusalem at this time. Now Herod was overjoyed when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And he questioned him at some length, but he offered him no answer at all. Now the chief priests and the scribes stood there, vehemently charging him. And Herod, together with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him, dressing him in a brightly shining robe, and sent him back to Pilate. And so Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for previously they had been enemies toward each other. Now Pilate summoned to himself the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and he said to them, You brought this man to me on the ground that he is inciting the people to revolt, and behold, after examining him before you, I have found no basis at all in the case of this man for the charges which you are bringing against him. No, nor has Herod, for he sent him back to us, and behold, nothing deserving death has been done by him. Therefore, I will punish him and release him. Now, he was obligated to release to them at the feast one prisoner. But they cried out all together, saying, Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas. He was the one who had been thrown into prison for a revolt that took place in the city and for murder. But Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. But they kept on crying out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And he said to them a third time, Why? What has this man done wrong? I have found in his case no grounds for a sentence of death. Therefore I will punish him and release him. But they were insistent, with loud voices, demanding that he be crucified, and their voices began to prevail. And so Pilate decided to have their demand carried out, and he released the man for whom they were asking, who had been thrown into prison for a revolt and murder, but he handed Jesus over to their will. And when they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, as he was coming in from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. Now following him was a large crowd of the people, and of women who were mourning and grieving for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, days are coming when they will say, Blessed are those who cannot bear, and the wombs that have not given birth, and the breasts that have not nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Now two others, who were criminals, were also being led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, watching. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also ridiculed him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Now there was also an inscription above him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other responded, and rebuking him, said, Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our crimes. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the entire land until the ninth hour, because the sun stopped shining, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. And having said this, he died. Now, when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, This man was in fact innocent. And all the crowds who came together for this spectacle, after watching what had happened, began to return home, beating their chests. And all his acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action, a man from Arimathea, the city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God, this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down and wrapped it in linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock, where no one had ever lain. It was a preparation day, and a Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. 1 Corinthians 15:1-34. Now I make known to you, brothers and sisters, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you were also saved, if you hold firmly to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed down to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After he had appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of them remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of all the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ only in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. But the fact is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man death came, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all will die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes to an end when he hands over the kingdom to our God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death, for he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says, all things are put in subjection, it is clear that this excludes the Father, who puts all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. For otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Why are we also in danger every hour? I affirm, brothers and sisters, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, that I die daily. If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what good is it to me? If the dead are not raised, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Sober up morally and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Proverbs 24, 1 through 12. Do not be envious of evil people, nor desire to be with them, for their minds plot violence, and their lips talk of trouble. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and a person of knowledge increases power. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Wisdom is too exalted for a fool. He does not open his mouth at the gate. One who plans to do evil, people will call a schemer. The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to humanity. If you show yourself lacking courage on the day of distress, your strength is meager. Rescue those who are being taken away to death, and those who are staggering to the slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, we did not know this, does he who weighs the hearts not consider it? And does he who watches over your soul not know it? And will he not repay a person according to his work? Psalm 52. Why do you boast in evil, you mighty man? The faithfulness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction. Like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, lies more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, you deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent, and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear, and they will laugh at him, saying, Behold, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and was strong in his evil desire. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the faithfulness of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And I will wait on your name, for it is good, in the presence of your godly ones.